So you've survived Maine 24. It's a long haul with a freight train of a hangover, but you've made it. You made it, so congratulations. So, what's next? The holidays, that's what's next. And that means holiday parties and New Year's coming up. So it doesn't make sense why you'd go any place other than Riverside Wine and Spirits to get your supplies and your booze and your gifts for such occasions. They've got amazing beers to choose from and a wide variety of liquor and wine, so you can find something for everyone. Or just yourself. I don't judge. I run a beer podcast, for God's sakes. So, happy holidays from us here at Brew Chat, as well as the fine folks down at Riverside Wine and Spirits, right on Manufacturers Road. Here we are once again, Brew Chatters. We are back, and I am Tanner, one third of your goodness here. We've got Alan back with us. He had to sit out on the last episode. Kate filled in for him, which is great, as always. But we're back, like we said we would, with our Star Wars review. Just going into this, though, right here, right now, if you have not seen Star Wars The Last Jedi, don't listen to this. Turn it off. I mean, listen. You can listen to my intro. You're safe. But the minute you hear our cranking and bitching theme song come in, you'd better turn this off, because there's going to be spoilers everywhere. We get real into it. Break down the details, tell you things we like, things we very much didn't like. But yeah, don't listen to it if you've not seen the movie. Which also, I don't know who out there's not seen the movie at this point. I mean, seems like everyone that does care to see it has seen it by this point. But also, yeah, it's all Star Wars all the time for this episode. And we do have one beer for you, though. I said, I think it was on a last episode, we had some Green Man beers gifted to us by one of the reps. Thanks again, Matt. So we've got their Bootsy American Sour Ale that we're going to be drinking on this episode. But that's the only beer we're talking about this episode, because it's all Star Wars. So go grab your Green Man Bootsy if you can find it. Doubt it, but if you can find it, it's a good beer. I'm not sure where you can get it in town. I think Riverside may have a couple. Here's episode 116 of the Brew Chat Podcast, our review of The Last Jedi.
I was just saying, this beer is pretty damn good. I know we're not talking about beer tonight, but I just want to get it out of the way.
We're going to talk about this one.
It's a pretty special beer.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this one. I saved this one for tonight because it is a special beer.
Yeah, and I'm glad we saved this beer for tonight and didn't drink it with all the other ones we had earlier.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, no, it's good. It smells and kind of tastes like red wine. Definitely smells.
No,
it is rich.
It is very rich.
It is the Green Man Bootsy American Sour Ale, mm-hmm. aged in oak barrels. It's got some text, some flavor text.
Because it's a good beer.
The strong sour black ale will funkify your life. Aged in our magic funky barrels for over a year. It's so dark. It's dark in here. I can't read this. It's so dark you may need a flashlight. The serious, complex taste, like we add fruit, but only... I'm struggling with this.
Give me this damn bottle.
Reading over there, I'm on the far side of this table, and I can't read the text. Yeah.
This strong, sour
you guys are the worst.
Black ale will funkify your life. It's got weird, like, weirdly placed
commas. You
guys
are such fucking humps.
It's this font, man. Aged in our magic funk barrels for over a year, it's so dark you may need a flashlight. This seriously complex malt tastes like we add fruit, but only good thoughts bring forth good fruit. This dog has an automatic atomic tartness that will satisfy a nation under a sour beer grove. This beer ain't nothing but a party. Okay, this is written weirdly, though.
Okay,
like that's,
good. It wasn't just me.
No, it's the grammar's a little strange.
All right.
And they have... It's first, we should probably say what it is. It is Green Man Bootsy, and I believe we would tell you to go pick it up, except you can't.
You can't.
Yeah, you kind of...
You kind of have to know someone.
I don't know. Riverside may have a couple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they may have a couple.
It is an American sour ale aged in oak barrels. Bomber-sized, bright purple label. The green man's looking a little gold with starry eyes.
Mm-hmm. Like stars as eyes.
Yep. It's for their 20th anniversary. 9% ABV. Yeah, and it's quite really good. Solid.
Yeah.
And it has no fruit in it.
Mm-hmm. No fruit. It, yeah,
no fruit.
And we said 9% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 1.9.4.
It does bring the funk.
Damn. Made with pure Asheville imagination. The better to funk you, my dear.
Super dry. Like, it almost makes you thirstier the more you drink it.
Yeah, it causes you to clench up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very tart.
It is tart.
But good. I mean, this is...
Also, you can bottle age it. So if we didn't open this, we can crack it open in another 20 years.
Yeah.
It pairs phenomenally with the brownies that Kate made. Shout out to Kate.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kate. Squish great.
It's rich. It's funky. It looks like crude oil.
And I hope we keep getting Green Man for another 20
yeah.
legendary
Cheers
years.
Cheers to 20 more years.
Yeah.
What I think Green Man's going to be coming on here in a couple months.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, our buddy that gave us this bottle is going to come on this show here in maybe like March or so when he's back down here.
Cool.
Yeah, so. And
I look forward to talking
to
him.
And he's going to bring some brewer buddies.
Nice.
So it should be a good time.
Nice.
Very cool. How did I turn my phone off?
I really like this. I'm trying to figure out what I'm smelling besides a barrel. If it doesn't have fruit in it.
I know. It really smells like there's some like black raspberries in here.
Mm-hmm. It's probably the yeast. Whatever yeast they used.
Well, and if I remember correctly, he was talking to me about how the barrels they use for this, they just kind of continually use them.
Mm-hmm.
So like the minute they bottle the beers that are coming out of it, they're filling them right back up.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really rinse them out. They just keep them
yeah.
full constantly.
Okay.
So that may have something to do with the taste. I don't
it know. Says it's a seriously complex malt taste.
True.
So, yeah.
So I wonder if they're getting like different yeasts and stuff living in there because
they're just
unless you're using it for the exact same beer every time.
Yeah, it's for this beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm. Yeah, and this is Green Man in Asheville, and I think he was telling me that this is the one that they line up at the brewery, like a like an iPhone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when they brew it, people are lining up outside.
That's awesome.
Like, before it's open, just to get in there. Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, you said it's really hard to... I mean, it's not... Yeah, you said it's, like, super hard to find, right? They only make it once every now and then, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if this is the 20th anniversary, I think they right. make it once a year.
Okay.
Is what I think I remember him telling me. This was a couple days ago when I grabbed this, and I'm a little hungover today, so...
Yeah, no, this is good stuff. I give this at least a 9.
Oh, yeah. This mm-hmm. one this one is as close to a 10 that I've gotten on here. Like, this is really good.
It's quite tasty.
I'm putting it up there probably the top, easily the top 5 of ones I've
yeah,
had on
top
here.
Top 5, definitely.
I mean, that one pumpkin bourbon ale was really good.
Yeah, I keep thinking about it, too.
I just love barrel ales. Anything in a barrel is probably going to win for me.
I don't always... Because a lot of times, whatever barrel of liquor they're aged in kind of overtakes the rest of the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get the rest of
the beer taste.
Yeah. If I wanted to do that, I'd, you know, drink scotch, or I'd drink bourbon, or I'd drink tequila for some reason, or I'd you
right.
know, drink rum.
Well, and this doesn't say it was necessarily barrels that were used for
no, it's
bourbon
just,
or anything. It just says
it's just
oak
barrels.
Yeah.
yeah. And they could have not. They could have been
yeah,
fresh
oak barrels.
Yeah,
they could just be
barrels,
oak barrels. Yeah,
which is cool too.
I feel like if they were bourbon barrels, they'd call that out. So it's probably
right.
just like
it's
a
probably
regular
just an oak barrel.
Barrel aged.
Which maybe that's why it's not punching me in the face with some other type of booze. I like it.
I can always tell the Chardonnay barrels, and I always hate those.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really dry. It gives me that sort of a face tingly feeling, like champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is weird for a beer that dark.
So
but
dark.
It is a sour.
Yeah,
so.
It's like brownish purple if you hold it up to the light. It is. Yeah, it's dark.
Well, we've talked about the beer. Let's move on. This is sort of a special episode. We're here
to get to the tits.
A very special episode, yeah, all in caps.
To get into Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
It's going to be spoilers.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be spoilers. And we're going to sort of moderate the conversation a little more than usual. So to start out, I want to start out by us talking about what we liked about it. Nothing negative about it. What did we like about it?
Yeah.
All right. What did we like about The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
I
want to say sound design. I liked the sound design. I thought it was cool. That's all.
Can I go with what I didn't hate as much as I thought I would? The Porgs. I thought they were going to be just shoehorned in. Well, they kind of were, but like, I was afraid they were going to be a shameless, obvious cash grab. I liked them.
You're talking about the penguin puffin type thing?
I did not mind the Porgs.
Yeah, they didn't need to be there.
They didn't, no. That's what I'm saying. I didn't hate them as much as I thought I would.
Okay.
I don't know. It just looked to me like, I mean, they're digital creatures. They can just copy and paste and drop them in there wherever they want.
And they didn't add anything to the story.
They actually, that island
they
is
replaced
full.
Han Solo. That's what they did.
No, they replaced puffins that were all over the island. No, they couldn't get them out, so they drew over them.
No, hear me out. They literally, which, you know, try not to talk about what I dislike here, but they did replace Han Solo as a foil
to
Chewbacca.
Chewie?
Yeah.
Mm. I would not call those things a foil.
He had nobody to play off of in this movie.
That's not necessarily a foil.
And I would say that's not necessarily... That's leading into things we might liked.
We'll get there.
So,
we'll get there.
Because Benicio del Toro was Han Solo to replace him. Things I liked. I can do this.
That's why I've got three pages of notes here. Well, I'll go.
Go ahead.
The hyperspace collision was something that I thought was pretty fucking cool.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Even though it didn't really fit within like what I would consider Star Wars style, it was still cool. And like the sound design on that was really cool.
Yeah.
The problem looked cool. I think I have is everything I liked always came with an asterisk.
Right.
Yeah. Which I'll get into the parts
I didn't like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had to really
break that's a good way to put it.
I'll also say...
I agree. It looked really cool. Hyperspace kamikaze was visually awesome. And I'll save the butt for later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Red Rim fight was...
fun.
Visually awesome.
Awesome. But I liked it. I thought it was cool. I liked the way that they used...
It was a cool spectacle.
Yeah. They used alternative weapons that you haven't seen, force-sensitive weapons and stuff like that, like the whip and the thing that turns into the whip and, you know, the blade.
I don't think they're force-sensitive. They're just vibro blades.
Vibro blades.
I thought Snoke
was
pretty cool and pretty interesting.
Yeah, except that we didn't... All right, sorry. Yeah, he was neat.
Yeah, Snoke, he was just whipping out different force powers. He seemed really powerful. I thought Andy Serkis did a great job. I loved his random-ass gold bathrobe he was wearing, like his casual loungewear that he wears. He was not 30 feet tall like I was hoping he would be.
Costume design.
Yeah.
Costume design was really cool. The acting wasn't so bad.
Acting was solid. Yeah. Snoke was if he hadn't had half his face burned off for a reason we'll never learn, he would probably be like a mustache twirling, like Palpatine-esque.
Yeah, he was solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really liked the relationship between Kylo and Ren and how that was
handled. Yes, I did too.
It
started off very strong. You're right. Mm-hmm. Their relationship with
Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver were phenomenal in this movie.
Mm-hmm. As was Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Yes. But we knew Mark. I guess I'm saying is like I had no doubt Mark Hamill would be awesome. I had no doubt Carrie Fisher would knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
But Kylo Ren's performance was criticized in Force Awakens for being whiny and stuff. And I think he nailed that character and did a good job of like changing the audience perception of him.
Yeah.
And really owned that part. And I think he did a great job.
He was he started off with a little bitch session.
Yeah, he picked up from Force Awakens.
But, I think he did evolve as a character, yeah. And the actor helped the character evolve. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like Hux. That dude is so smarmy. Because I hate him. I love he's a that's very the, good love to hate him.
That's redhead chops, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Weasley. I think he's the Weasley.
Which I think he did actually play a Weasley.
Really?
Yeah. I think like one of the older ones. Once they actually become relevant in the Harry Potter
stories.
Oh, see,
I got the impression, I don't know, I got the impression Hux, the character, is like 22 or 23.
See,
like,
I just think all gingers look the same.
Well, it's the lack of soul.
Right. Yeah.
But I thought, and I love the Hux and Kylo Ren dynamic. I like that. I liked, you guys can jump in. I'm not supposed to be.
Well, Tanner's said he's got notes, yeah, so I've got let him get to some of the things that he has written down.
One thing, another thing I liked is, this is one of the first, like, we got a ton of exposition on the Force.
Yeah, we did.
And I really liked that. Like, we've not really had that. We just got weird, vague stuff. Okay. And it
we've
was
had exposition, but this time it made sense.
It did. Yeah.
It was the best explanation.
And all the exposition we've had before this has been through the eyes of the Jedi and the Sith thing. True. So. Mm-hmm.
He didn't mention Metachlorians.
Yep.
No one's ever mentioning those again.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm just saying.
Those just need to be edited out. Like, Qui-Gon's lips can move in that scene.
I really wish Luke had said something like, the Force has been thought to be many things. Way back in the day, they used to think they were these things called midichlorians, which we all know doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been
like acceptable. It was like a pseudoscience theory that's been debunked.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they basically established that the Jedi was just some religion. The Force is a thing that exists.
I do like how much Mark Hamm or Luke hated the Jedi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I liked that whole, it gave us a ton of exposition on the Force, which I thought was pretty cool. Well, the next thing I'll get into later, but I also thought that opening battle was pretty cool.
It was all right.
Yes. Yeah, the battle was cool.
Yeah.
When there were battles, they were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the fighting, Rey and Luke, not with their sticks and stuff, that was cool.
That was a cool stick fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about all I got for it.
Okay.
After this,
where are you taking us next?
The CGI was quite good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
At points, not all of it was very good, I liked the those like ice foxes or whatever they were. I thought they were pretty cool.
Alolan Ninetales.
Alolan Ninetales. But pointier. They were cool. Again, with the sound design, when they moved around, it made the little shimmering of the icicles and stuff.
Yeah, the sound was really solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
No. There was other CGI stuff that wasn't so great, but I thought those things were... I mean, they were obviously animated because those aren't real.
I did like some of the weirder creatures. It felt like kind of a return to form of Return of the Jedi a little bit. Just like, some of it was just weird. And out there like that chick with six tits in Jabba's palace. Like, that was weird.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just weird stuff like that in this movie. I liked that. Yeah, next I wanted to sort of move on to, without getting into detail about our negatives, but each of us sort of give just our general take on it.
I did not like it.
Yeah.
I did not like it at all. I rank it really toward the bottom of my Star Wars movies. And I know the internet's on fire and divided between people who wanted it to feel more like a Star Wars movie and everyone who's defending it for being something different. And I got to say, Rogue One is one of the best Star Wars movies, and it was quite possibly one of the most different ones I had ever seen. I know the different formula works. I know the original one has or is in super danger of getting stale. I get it. I'm about a new direction. Like I said, loved Rogue One. This was a new direction and a bad movie, to put it succinctly.
I was very disappointed. The more we discussed it, because we went and saw it together, opening night, before opening night.
Thursday at 7.
Thursday at 7:15, which didn't actually start till like 8, but whatever. The more we talked about it, the angrier I got.
Yep,
I got more
here,
and more disappointed, and it made me angrier and angrier and angrier. And I think that's because Rogue One, like you were saying, was so good. And even Force Awakens was way better than I was expecting it to be. And they started winning my trust back because after the original trilogy, they kind of lost it. And I was like, do I really even want to go see these movies?
No, hold on. The prequel trilogy.
The prequel trilogy. The original. Sorry. The prequel trilogies. Yeah. Sorry. That's what I meant. The prequel trilogies. Yeah. And they were building trust back, and that's a hard job to do, especially with Star Wars. And I think there were probably a lot of people that were feeling the same way, and I actually let myself, made the mistake of letting myself get excited for this movie. And I was hyped up to go see it, and then I saw it, and the more disappointed I got, the angrier I got, because they've just destroyed this trust they rebuilt. Yep. And now, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to go...
I'm not hyped for episode nine, which is the most egregious thing.
No, I don't want to go see it. Mm-hmm. And I should leave. I should have left this movie being like, oh, I can't wait another 2 years for a main fucking Star Wars movie. I just can't. But it's not what happened. And now I don't want any of these new Star Wars movies.
Yeah. See, I didn't let it burn me that bad. And so my thoughts overall is I was disappointed, same as you guys. I feel like we all left there...
hurt.
Well, we all left there initially with like, we were each individually thinking, all right, I don't know if I liked that, but maybe I'm the weird one.
Yeah, right. No, we definitely walked out there and we should have been hyped, but everyone had that sort of like awkward face, like somebody farted and it may have been you.
Yeah. No, and I overall, it's definitely my least favorite Star Wars movie. It sent me, no joke, through the five stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched all of the Star Wars movies between then and now just to sort of get a feel so I wasn't judging it in an unfair light. Because you see stuff and then you forget stuff also through the lenses of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
You forget some of the goofier, dumb stuff that there is. So I went and watched all the other Star Wars movies. And now I've gone through a legitimate depression and anger over it.
Yep.
And now at acceptance. And I've come to the conclusion that I don't like it, but I can accept it. It serves a purpose in the way that, and this is what gives me a little bit of hope going into episode 9 and getting back to something that I liked that I didn't want to talk about earlier, was they just kind of threw a bunch of shit out the window. And this movie, it serves the same purpose that The Force Awakens did, where a lot of people complained about The Force Awakens because it was too formulaic.
Right.
And that fucking worked for me. I still enjoyed it. I didn't care. But they needed that so they could show like, hey, we've bought Star Wars. We can handle it. You know, it's not something we're going to ruin. It's like, you've seen this before. It's familiar. It's just familiar enough. You know, a lot of people didn't like that because it was too formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
That served a purpose to show that they can get back into it, you know? And then this one served that same purpose, but on the dark side, if you will, of showing, okay, we've shown you that we can handle it. Now let us run with it for a minute. And I still didn't like the story, and I've got a ton of dislikes about it, but I can accept it in that way. And it something I do like is it sets up episode 9, where they brought J.J. Abrams back, who I think did a tremendous job with The Force Awakens, and he can go wherever he wants to with it, 100%. Like,
there's nowhere to go but up.
And also, they couldn't tell an original story with The Force Awakens, and I would argue they couldn't tell... It's like you had to have the two extremes in order for us to come back to something at the end.
You're saying that the pendulum's swinging and eventually it's going to end up in the middle.
Yeah. Now, I agree with almost all your points, except differently. I did the whole five stages of grief, except at the end, I accepted it was a shit movie. I've accepted that. It is.
Some people still have
I agree. Force Awakens was cookie cutter from A New Hope. And... sure, we complained. It was a rehash.
I didn't complain.
It could have been better.
It could have been
more
different.
We said it could have been better. It was good, but it also seemed a little like derivative at parts. Having said that, I have now seen what happens when they go off script. It's not good, and I think there's a reason they went by the books for Force Awakens. Again, Rogue One was completely different and phenomenal. I think they're bringing J.J. Abrams back to fix this clusterfuck. Rian Johnson made it up as he went along and was allowed to play in his sandbox, and that's awesome from a studio standpoint. It was great that they let him do that.
I can't believe they gave him his own trilogy without this movie having come out yet.
Yeah, I can see his own trilogy working decently if it's...
Cause its own side thing. Yeah,
it's going to have no characters or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't even know what time period it's going to be in. It could be Knights of the Old Republic era for all we know. So I can see it working for that just fine. But like you said, Alan, they showed that they can do different with Rogue One. But I was reading into this, and I was really, it seems to me that up until now that Disney has been really good with Star Wars to be like, no, do your own thing.
Yeah.
And then Rian Johnson has just ran with it. Maybe that is why they brought JJ back. But also JJ has said that, because one of Knights of Ren, where were they? But I think they brought him back because of the Knights of Ren, but also to fix this mess.
And that goes into the sort of the everything I liked about it with an asterisk. Hyperspace kamikaze. It looked awesome. Cool. It did. I don't think anyone, whether you like the movie or not, denies that that was a beautifully done scene. Mm-hmm. It was odd that they edited that way in a Star Wars movie. Yeah. They went full silence in space and showed it from several different angles, which was not the star. I'm not saying you got to do this by the book, but it did kind of like make me think for a minute, like, that's an interesting shot. That's not usually a Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
And also plot wise that Holdo, who shows up to do not much, she sends everyone out.
Yeah.
And we've all seen the things on the internet. Why wasn't it Ackbar that did that?
Or Leia.
And I agree fundamentally. But moving past that, it's if we're going to bring on Laura Dern to go kamikaze, why not lead with that? I mean, you get all your other ships out of there, and then she just sits there twiddling her thumbs waiting to be blown out of the fucking space. And then once she sees her friends getting nailed, is like, shoot, I wonder what happens if I just blow up their ship. Like, maybe lead with that.
Yeah,
you know, what are you waiting for?
I'm going over that scene in my head right now, and I'm about to tear up just thinking if it was Leia.
Yeah,
if that was Leia that stayed back.
Mm-hmm. I've got a whole theory on this.
Oh man,
I think initially the plan was for that to be Leia. I really do, and I think that Disney has done a phenomenal PR job in covering up how badly Carrie Fisher's passing this time last year really fucked up
this
there.
Movie. Yeah.
Like, I would love to get a hold of the shooting script and schedule for this movie, because we could filter through that and figure it out, because I'm convinced that Carrie Fisher dying affected this movie way more than we as the public actually know.
Yeah.
And they've let us. So my theory is that Leia was supposed to go out like that, and that was going to be her big moment and all this sort of stuff.
That would have been so good.
And then Holdo is, I've got the Entertainment Weekly, like, from this time last year of when they first cast Laura Dern and they first released her
character. They hyped her up.
Yeah, and in the interview, I think it was the Entertainment Weekly, she's talking about how her character is kind of two-sided, and she goes way back to Alderaan days with Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get close to my mic here. But she goes way back to Alderaan days with Princess Leia, and that she's a little two-sided, and that she could potentially be a First Order sympathizer.
Right.
That she's starting to see that the resistance is futile and all this sort of stuff. And the way her character acts in the first bit of it, she seems like she's two-sided and has some secondary plan going on.
That's true.
And I was into it. I was like, okay, we've got some...
Yeah.
She's bitchy, not wanting to tell the plan. She's doing something shifty. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, she's the hero. And what I think happened is, I know for a fact they filmed the beginning of the movie with, like, Carrie Fisher helped write those lines. They filmed her big Luke moment, all that stuff on Crait. They filmed that at the very beginning. And then the stuff on the ship, they had filmed up until there. And then they, you know, she got sick.
Mm-hmm. Had a heart attack.
Yeah. And they pulled the airlock scene, because that was obviously digital. They pulled the airlock scene to give an excuse for them to be able to film around it. And then there, they basically shifted, once they saw that things weren't going to go well in real life for Carrie Fisher, is they shifted a lot of her character's arc and moments to Holdo and just completely scrapped the double agent First Order sympathizer thing. But they had already shot a good portion of her footage up to that point with her acting as if she's supposed to be a turncoat later on.
There is no amount of proof. I'm going full tinfoil hat on this. There is no amount of proof you can present to me that will say the Leia floating in space Superman scene wasn't added after her death.
Yeah.
That it wasn't there as like a tribute to Carrie Fisher, because narratively it serves no purpose.
Mm-mm.
But the room's attacked. She gets blown up. They pull her into the hospital bed thing. She's in a coma. I mean, that's how that could have gone down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
without that entire scene. But instead, she's floating in space. She has her Superman moment. And angelically force pulls herself. We see she's not dead. Wow. Mm-hmm. And she pulls herself to the door. And that's never... It's never brought up or even acknowledged by anyone. Like,
hey,
no one.
You were out there in space and you didn't
no
die.
One yeah. even brings that up and be like, how did you do that? Or holy shit, you've got force powers. Mm. Like, that's something people would react to,
right,
in the movie, but none of the other characters did. So I believe that scene, and it was all digital. I mean, she was digital.
Yeah,
in those scenes.
It was all digital. And
so,
yeah, I agree with you. That to me,
you
now
could
that I'm
show me
about
like
it, no,
timestamp,
no reaction shots
yeah,
from the other
you
people.
You could show me
stop
timestamp
yeah.
photos while she was alive and doing that, and I would still be like, Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the no reaction shots from the rest of the characters, mm-hmm. and that like there should have been a scene of them looking out the window like, she's alive. No, get to the airlock quick, yeah. or something like that. You know.
Well, there was a like, get to the airlock.
And here's the and here's but that like was another
well,
thing.
No, I actually. I rewatched the movie today.
Okay.
I won't say
that's
how.
Why you're hungover.
I won't okay. say how. But I rewatched the movie today. And yeah, there's not the most that anybody says is Poe says something. He says, get to the airlock. But it's
yeah.
super last minute.
Which
but,
she could have done if she had just been blown up in that room.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, she's got these force powers like that. I just realized this now. You could have gone the opposite way and sacrificed yourself in like, pulled the ship or force pushed the First Order ship or mm-hmm. for like
yeah,
you're
using
the force
using
in space
force
like
in
you
space.
Can do a little more than angelically glide back to the hangar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just did not like that movie.
No,
the Red Room scene. I liked
are we at the
we're at what we hate now.
Yeah.
I gotta get it out, man.
Well, to get to the Leia thing for a minute is
But I agree with you, Tanner, that I'm pretty sure she that would have been a much better like death scene. And not like
yeah.
not a lot. I sure there's some contrarian on the internet. No one's arguing that that would have been a better send off for Carrie Fisher.
Well, that also to
what,
me
her doing the kamikaze thing.
Kamikaze.
Yeah, no, that would have been a way better
send off.
Well, especially because she didn't die at all in this movie, which means they're going to have to digitally add her to the next one,
no,
which is going to be terrible.
No, I know exactly. I've got some.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm just.
But yeah. So yeah. This is why I formatted shit a little more.
No,
I tried to. I didn't want us jumping all over the
place.
I'm
trying to keep it.
But
I'm just pissed.
So Haldo. Oh, that entire the Carrie Fisher's death fucked up way more than they've let on.
Absolutely.
So Haldo, the whole reason she took the ship in kamikaze, I think that was supposed to be Carrie Fisher,
mm-hmm.
and I think Haldo's entire plot was. They had the footage of, you know, the digital footage of the transports leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Haldo's plan was to get the transports to leave. But then she was just going to fucking leave in the big Radish ship and go join the First Order. And that was going to be that. Mm. And then they were going to blast the transports down. And then
that'd have been cool.
That's what I think.
Or she goes the other way and just escapes into light speed knowing that the Radish is going to blow up the transport ships.
Why did she have to stay back with the ship again? Because they started blowing
off.
Up the transports anyway.
Yeah.
That's right. Never mind.
But I think the initial plan was, yeah, they're going to blow up the transports. She was going to survive. Or maybe Leia, they thought they put Leia on one of those pods when Leia was still alive and in the initial plan.
Mm.
She thinks Leia's on one of those pods, and she's like, no, I'm going to stay behind, and I'm going to kamikaze it. But Leia really knows that she's sort of secretly working for the First Order, so mm-hmm. Leia stays behind and deals with her, and then Leia kamikazes it. Haldo's whole plan to begin with was just to leave and then have the First Order kill all the transport pods off,
right?
And then she can just escape. So that's and that would also explain a little bit. One of my biggest complaints is this movie just doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie to me, and I think that is largely in part due to the way it's edited together.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And if there was anything in the movie that showed any of that, mm-hmm. what you were talking about with her being, you know, a double agent and all that mm-hmm. stuff, and that would have been amazing. But there was none of that at all.
Mm-mm. And her character is completely useless.
It could be, you know, what the actress is all about. And, you know, if she developed that great backstory, fucking good for her. But I don't know any of that by watching the movie. That means jack shit to me.
No, she shows up out of nowhere with her Tumblr haircut and
right.
we're supposed to like this character, and then she's kind of gone. Like it was
this like it alt was unearned. Friend of Leia's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now it that's my big theory on that. But I also how they're going to get rid. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but in that Hallmark scene at the end where we see the little kid grab the broomstick with the Force.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't really like that scene, but that scene establishes several things within the movie. Is it opens up with this kid got little stick figures made of Luke Skywalker and mm-hmm. the walkers from Crate, and he's like telling the story and playing.
Right.
There's no way that scene takes place right around the time of the Crate battle
mm-hmm.
because it's that kid's not going to know he was a stable boy. He's not going to hear about this big battle on the other side of the galaxy and True. Then have time to go build stick figures and all this. So it had time for all this to resonate throughout the galaxy and the story to spread. So that implies that this little shot, okay. and there's a time jump there.
Okay. The only thing is that you might be forgetting that this movie was terrible. And
terrible or not, though. Terrible or not, there are very purposeful things in this movie, and it's still canon.
I'm sure there are some of them, but it could just be that it's not good writing and that that kid is telling the story about what just happened, like, right after it happened somewhere else, and that's just bad writing.
Could be.
It could be.
But they also establish...
So we need to keep that in mind. It's not necessarily the future.
Well, they also use that to establish that there's other Force users out there.
That is true. Right. Yeah.
And the reason they're going to need that time jump is that's how they're going to cover up Carrie Fisher's death. Is there's going to be a time jump similar how there was between A New Hope to Empire or whatever, and they'll just cover it in the opening
crawl. To me,
crawl.
That is insulting.
That is way insulting.
But what else would they do, you know?
Hyperspace kamikaze her.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
If you don't have that footage.
They build footage of her in space.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what's killing me. They build footage of her in space. The sad... Her reaction, her sort of like sad acceptance in space for a hot second. That's you change the lighting, put her on green screen, the Raddus cockpit in there, and you have her aiming, you have her death scene, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was so many decisions that movie made narratively were just incorrect. And to Jared's point, like, I just can't trust the writing. So. I won't go on to the Red Room scene. Let's move.
Should we
Rey and on Act Two with Luke, for example? Here's just some shoddy writing.
Wait, should we save this for the gripes section?
I think we're in.
I mean, we're already in it.
Are we in it now?
Are we not? Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. There's hard.
So yeah, Rey is training with Luke on Act Two, whatever it's called.
Whatever.
She's going around. She's trying to get his attention. He's ignoring her. That's fine. It's whatever.
You skipped the part where at the beginning he tossed away the sacred weapon of the Jedi Order.
Yeah, that was it was his old lightsaber.
It's still like,
I know,
it's,
but
he like respects it. Like that's
but that's that was a writing choice. So
to
they,
show
they
that
chose,
he no longer respects.
They chose to do that. Okay. So moving on, they made that choice, and Luke finally decides eventually, I'm going to train you. Wake up at dawn, or what have you. She wakes up at dawn, and suddenly, for half the movie. That island's been just the two of them and a weird four-titted walrus bird. And out of nowhere, there are little nun caretakers on the island, and Luke's talking like they've been there. She's like, what are these? And they've just appeared from nowhere.
Literally nowhere.
And that's the type of like bad writing thing where I'm like, are we just... We couldn't have CGI'd them in earlier?
Copy-paste.
Like walking around?
Yeah.
We couldn't have had Luke... We couldn't have even had that moment of her acknowledging them up front? Like... Mm-hmm. That's the type of shit where I just like throw my hands up. I'm like, what? Where the fuck did they come from? And why are we just seeing them now?
And what the fuck was the point of the scene where Luke was milking the damn whatever?
You gotta
that
get
thing
that.
Was.
I don't know. That really didn't bother me that much.
I don't understand what it was.
It was just. It was.
I know it bothered me.
Well, it's like, why is there a six boob chick in Return of the Jedi? You know,
because
like,
she's still part of the scene, and it's showing that the area is strange. But like, he doesn't. No one's asking where Luke gets his milk on this island.
Here's the thing is, I agree with both of you. On the one hand, because it was super early in the movie, I was thrown off by it. Mm-hmm. By the end of this movie, that's like number 10 on my list of gripes.
That's not a gripe. I'm just saying, like, if you have a scene in the movie, they added that in on purpose somewhere. There's a director's cut somewhere that has deleted scenes, and that's not one of them, and I don't know why.
Well, it's part of that bigger sequence of it was just Rey following Luke around, and that it was showing his daily routine of his hermitness, of
you know, he's going to go over here and get him some milk.
He drinks the regular milk and then he goes over here and catches him a fish.
Mm-hmm. And how he's just so far removed and he doesn't even give a fuck that she's following him.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden there's nuns. So he's not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really jarring.
Which the nuns thing get to this whole other gripe theory I've got on these new movies. And JJ even falls a little bit victim to it. Is all these new movies, I love that we're getting directors like Gareth Edwards and JJ that were fans of the series growing up. Mm-hmm. So they've got that genuine passion and love for the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But because of that, they get a hold of it and they're just, and this combined with something else, they let their imaginations run wild.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh yeah, this is what I would do if I were in Star Wars. And then they run wild with it a little bit. And combined with the fact that it allows Disney and Hasbro and Lego and everybody to print new toys.
Yeah.
Is I want to see shit we've already seen before. Like, yeah, I know the galaxy's huge.
Right.
But give us just callbacks through some creatures.
Yeah, throw some Rodians in there.
Like, why wouldn't a Jawa had been on?
Yeah.
Or a Rodian or somebody, you know, why wouldn't they have been
fucking
on Jakku?
Hutt, why not? A Twi'lek, whatever you want to fucking call
it. Why wasn't there just like, just give us one alien we've kind of seen before in Maz Kanata's castle.
I haven't seen a Twi'lek since episode 6. Speaking of Maz Kanata,
she was thrown in what, to remind us that she's a person?
I don't know what that was, actually.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe it's part of like, because I'm convinced my Leia theory is right. I'm convinced her death completely fucked up.
No, I'm with you. I subscribe to your newsletter.
And so maybe it was something that maybe Leia was supposed to be on there. But something funny is on the Star Tours ride, they use that exact same animation of Maz Kanata. And I don't know if they just were like, yeah, we'll just, we need to show her. But we'll just throw it on a display and we can cover it up and we'll put a new background behind her.
Hmm.
But the whole thing, she flies, because you're in that Star Tours thing. It's like a little simulator box.
Yeah.
And you get in there and you're staring at the screen like it's the front of the ship.
Okay.
And the ride makes no sense narratively. You're flying between like the Battle of Geonosis and the Battle of Jakku. And
what?
Yeah, it's just kind of like a greatest hit simulator of Star Wars. Yeah. But at one point you hit Maz Kanata's planet and the castle and all that, and she like flies up with her jetpack exactly like in this movie and is like and says something and then flies off. It's the exact same animation. I'm like 97% sure. And at that point, that's just lazy, or they're trying to cover something up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I attribute like the Carrie Fisher thing, is because I refuse to believe Disney let this just run wild like it did.
Yeah.
And it looks to me like somewhere where a bunch of people have, too many cooks in the kitchen have tried to clean up a mess scenario is what I see from it. But yeah,
it's not good.
Accept it, but I don't like it. And one thing I've really had to come to terms with is I did not like the choices they made for Luke.
Not at all.
None.
At all.
Not at all.
No.
I didn't like the choice they made with anything. So I'll just get that out the way.
But like the Luke thing, I see why they did it. Now, after like reading up on it, it makes sense. I still don't like it, but it makes sense narratively. So hear me out here. Is George Lucas, when he created the first Star Wars, he wasn't planning on sequels necessarily, but the first one, he wanted to do sequels, but he had a hard enough time getting the first one made. But he wanted it to mirror Joseph Campbell's Journey of a Hero and A Hero with 1,000 Faces.
Right.
Which has it's got 12 steps of a hero's journey and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It hands down. I've got them written down
the
here.
Heroes, we can go over the 12 steps of the hero's journey.
I'll just read them off real quick.
It's important stuff.
Is, the first step is it establishes the ordinary world. Second step is the call to adventure.
Mm-hmm.
The third step is the refusal of the call by the hero. The fourth is meeting the mentor, like an old man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is crossing the threshold. Number six, it's tests, allies, and enemies. Mm-hmm. Number seven is approach the innermost cave. Number eight is the supreme ordeal. Number nine is the reward and seizing the sword. Number 10 is the road back. And this right here is where we start to get into what I think they were trying to get at with Luke, to sort of call back to the hero with 1,000 faces.
Okay.
Is what I think they were trying to do with Luke.
Around
and it
11.
Makes sense in that way. Is around 11. So you've got the road back is where the hero has come back from his journey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having it's PTSD. He's tried to establish after everything's gone down and he's become the real hero. He's trying to get back to a normal life of some sort, but just can't do it. And it just doesn't seem to happen. So then you have the resurrection and or death, which means he could have survived. That's number 11.
That's number
11. Number 10 was the road back. Number 11 is resurrection. And then number 12 is the return with the elixir. And that's what I think we're going to see in episode 9 is him come back as a Force ghost. Like, he's definitely coming back as a Force ghost.
Yeah, he's going to haunt the shit out of Kylo Ren. Yeah.
He better. Somebody's got to.
I'm curious, do you guys think Snoke will come back?
No, not in the slightest.
No.
Not at all.
No.
I think that was a giant middle finger to everyone. And thanks to Rian Johnson's like social media presence, it'd be like, hey, your Snoke theory sucks. Mm. It's because he just didn't like Snoke, is what it came down to.
He should have been so cool. We didn't get any backstory. We got zero. He shows up out of fucking nowhere in episode 7.
Right.
And he's this like supreme leader that no one's ever heard of. And then he dies like a bitch in episode 8. And he does some cool shit, but really he's just sitting there and gets
stabbed. Well, he does all the cool shit.
He does so much cool shit, and then just that's it. And no one knows anything about him, doesn't say anything about where he came from, if there's more of him, what he did, how he became the supreme ruler or whatever's left, and like, what the fuck?
And the internet, nothing. I always go back to the internet, the internet defenders are like, well, we never got old Sheev's story in Empire and Jedi.
But there wasn't 30 years of story before that.
No, it was episodes 4, 5, and 6, so we didn't know what 1, 2, and 3 were. But we're pretty sure we're going to show the rise of the Empire and how this happened. That's kind of, we didn't know in 1992 exactly that his name was Sheev.
Yeah.
And that we were going to get any sort of story about that. But there was hope. Mm-hmm. We've gone from episodes, we went straight from, 6 to 7 to 8, and it's not like we're going to sneak in a Star Wars episode 6.5, Snoke creates the First Order.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's bullshit. And he was cool.
Bullshit.
They could have gone the other way and just made him lame. He could have been a lame-ass motherfucker that nobody cared about, so when he dies halfway through the movie, you're just like, that's fine. He was just kind of there. Like,
yeah, but then he wouldn't have been lame if he was above Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren would have offed him in movie 1. He would have offed him like 20 minutes in. He would have thrown one of his little bitch fits in the chambers and just like...
Look, man, I can't defend what Rian Johnson did. I'm just...
See, I don't mind that Snoke got killed off. I'm just mad that there was no exposition given on it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
I really liked that scene and how he was killed off.
That's fun. Like, yeah, it's clever, whatever. Yeah, he did the sort of tricking his mind
so
without doing
it. It was so painfully obvious
to me. It was.
He basically spelled out his own demise for a minute and a half. Mm. I see. You came in here conflicted, but your mind is made up. Mm. You've made your choice. I see that your heart is resolute. The lightsaber turns. You're going to turn it on. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's going to die. We know this. Like, he's going to fucking die. I'm going to be cut in half. He might as well have said that while looking straight at the camera.
Yeah.
It was poor editing.
It is. And writing.
And writing.
This entire movie, in my opinion, was poorly edited.
So yeah,
they didn't have the transitions that the typical Star Wars
did. The entire movie did not feel like Star Wars to me, and that is one of my biggest gripes about it. Something about it, and it's designed.
It was the editing and the music to
me. Well, it's designed. Oh, yeah. It picks up right where The Force Awakens leaves off. So it's designed to watch those back to back. But if you go to do that, this movie seems really inconsistent with the feel of The Force Awakens.
Very, very.
And that, to me, was the most jarring.
Yeah.
And it's a combination of the music, the editing. There's none of the wipes.
Yeah.
Like, it just... There's also a shit ton of close-ups.
So many.
Which is also a big thing. Like, there's establishing wide shot, but there's not gratuitous wide shots like there normally are in Star Wars movies.
They have just big fuck-off ships coming into screen.
Yeah, it's like... All of the wide shots we see, I mean, we talk about movies on here and people that are listening, you have to have an establishing shot, a wide shot to show where your characters are at. And I felt that all of the wide shots we got in this were because the director had to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he didn't have to give us a wide shot in that moment, they wouldn't have even been there. He did not want to give us wide shots.
I think you're
right. The original trilogy and even the prequels, even the cartoons, even Force Awakens... It has these gorgeous wide shots, like that gorgeous wide shot of the TIE fighters coming in backlit by the sun. That's very
apocalypse
now. You got to
see how big the Death Star is.
Yeah.
There's that. There's a, you know, that wide shot of BB-8 and Rey coming across the hilltop. You get a wide shot of C-3PO and the first five C-3PO and R2 in the first 5 minutes of Return of the Jedi. Like, there's wide shots everywhere, just slow wide shots too, like where you're waiting on the characters to come to you. You're not
right.
You know, it's not established. You're waiting on the characters to come to you, and there was none of that.
Like Stanley Kubrick, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're in the Red Room, Snoke dies, and then the Red Room scene, everyone's jizzing their pants over. Which, going back to your editing, the Red Praetorian Guards, who the Red Guards have done nothing for six movies, and now at they're least. Jumping in, it's their big moment. They're the same ones, they're now they're technically different, I get it. They're the at same least fucking six dudes. Movies.
Yeah, no, no.
And it's we're now on movie 8, and they're jumping in and doing something. Going to your point of editing... Slow motion, which is not a Star Wars thing. It leads like that. But then I can see Kylo Ren going toe-to-toe. He's been playing with his lightsaber for fucking ever. He was trained by Luke before that. Mm-hmm. He's got a new one. Snoke probably taught him a thing or two.
Right.
These aren't just like random henchmen that are fighting Rey.
They
These
have
are,
exotic weapon
They are the elites. Yeah. This are Snoke's personal guard. Great job, by the way. These are the best of the best of the best. And Rey, who's used a lightsaber for all of, we'll call it 20 seconds, is just beating him. And it's...
She did do the same thing to Kylo Ren in the previous movie.
He was injured. He got shot in the fucking leg with a Wookiee bowcaster.
I can take that, though, because it was shown pretty early on in Force Awakens she could handle herself with a staff.
With a staff.
Yeah, so
I can handle myself with...
Can you?
It's a totally different thing. I can drive... My Chevy Cavalier just fine. Put me in a Lamborghini, I'm not going to be the same. It's going to be a little different, and I'm not going to win any races because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
But I mean, she's practiced with the weapon at this point, though.
But I'm saying, like...
She's practiced with a weapon, but she doesn't really pick
put
up
me,
and
put me
that
in
that
a manual transmission. It's not going to be pretty, even if I had a day to practice. Like,
right.
And again... I'm not winning some street race against some chump. I'm going up against Formula One racers. Mm-hmm. Like these are, that's what I'm saying. You've handed me a stick shifting Lamborghini, but I had a day to practice. Mm-hmm. I'm not winning any races.
Yeah, that's
so.
That's
my biggest thing with the Praetorian Guards is why the hell did they still care?
Yeah,
after he was dead.
He's
like,
dead. Yeah,
he's the guy writing your checks. Like,
yeah, he did.
Like, what are you gonna do?
They should have lined up.
Yeah, I didn't know why. Like, it would have been cooler if maybe they had just instantly bowed to Kylo or something.
Yeah, chain of command. Yeah. Kylo's probably, even if he's third in line after Hux, you're not going to turn on him. They don't have any evidence he killed Snoke. That could have been Rey using a Force thing to turn on the lightsaber.
Right? Could have been. No, it couldn't have been.
That's
one
what
of
he
them,
said. He said Rey killed her.
That's true.
Afterward,
yeah. But yeah.
So... They had no reason to go up against Kylo, and I don't know why all of a sudden everyone forgot they could force push people.
It would have been much more convincing when he tried to get Rey to join him if he had a fucking room full of Red Guards behind him.
See, back to your sword thing is, they forgot how to force push. Is I can buy that beyond your complaint about the lightsabers. Like, okay, the lightsaber's a thing. Like, it showed that Finn could pick it up and. Handle it even a little bit.
He did a little bit,
And
but the force push thing, that actually takes some concentration. You got to learn how to do it.
Yeah, no one really did that.
Kylo knows how to. Kylo held a goddamn laser opening scene of Force Awakens. God, so I'm not buying anything badass. That he couldn't have thrown these guys out a damn window. A fucking laser.
Mm-hmm.
So bullshit to the nth degree.
And we know Jedi can survive in space.
Sadly. Now, my other big complaint about this movie was the entire thing was red herrings after red herrings.
It was That's exhausting. It was an exhausting movie to watch.
It started with the whole Carrie Fisher thing getting blown out of the airlock. I mean, every single thing about this movie. The entire Canto bite sequence, we've not even talked about that.
But Finn and Rose's
thing. It's pointless. There's not even really a reason to talk about it. It's just a pointless sequence in the movie that could have completely been alleviated.
They didn't know what to do with those characters. They didn't know.
We got some time to bitch about stuff.
Apparently, they cut like 30 or 40 minutes out of this movie. And I believe that that Canto Bite sequence actually had some sort of substance to it at some point. But folding back into my Carrie Fisher death theory is once they started doing that, they had to trim that back because it tied in with Holdo a little bit, But if, because there was all that double agent stuff that they established right there in Canto Bight. And so maybe find out that Haldo's like been also double dealing in some way there. But there's stuff cut out from that sequence. And it left us with just a pointless sequence. But I think it tied into Haldo's initial arc of the story. But then after she was changed.
What gets me about the Canto Bight sequence is it was boring visually. Mm-hmm. It was a regular fuck off. It should have been, when I heard Casino, I thought the cantina on steroids.
Yeah.
Just like a Guardians-esque, colorful, should've insane
been.
This is where the 1%, and a little too heavy on the meta commentary, by the way.
Seriously,
about the 1%.
Come on.
I go to watch Star Wars to escape the real world. But anyway, it should have been the most exciting, exotic thing. It should have put Jabba's palace to shame. Mm-hmm. It should have put the cantina to shame. Mm-hmm. But it was humanoid alien races. All the men were in tuxes, and all the women aliens were in evening wear. How you make an intergalactic casino so boring, you have to try to make it that visually unimpressive.
Yeah, that's true.
God. I mean, it looked Finn like and Rose look like the most exciting people in there because they're not dressed in the normal Earth evening wear.
When I rewatched it today, it made me think that they had just reused and like
they reskinned something from Casino Royale.
No, that they straight up just took some wide shots of Asgard from the first Thor movie and just cranked up the gamma on it and made it a little darker.
To me, it was they reskinned a scene from Casino Royale and just made some of the women aliens.
Mm-hmm.
No, it just
fucking lame.
You're talking about the interior. I was talking about exterior, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the exterior.
Yeah,
It
had a very, to me, it had sort of this like, I don't know, like Rome looking feel.
I was even okay with the exterior going into it. You get the flyover shot, and it's like, okay, we got the outside of this casino. Shit's gold. There's a racetrack. Let's get in on it. Mm-hmm. And then it was not.
Well, and that was where we saw one of many missed opportunities where I don't know why we didn't see pod racing.
Or Tauntauns even. They could use anything and established something to race.
Or
had
Rancor fighting pits.
Oh, yeah, that'd
something
be awesome.
Like that. You've got this scum and villainy here that's supposed to be gambling on all this shit.
Rancor versus Wampa, just right there.
Yeah. Like, just awesome. Something. But there was a ton of missed opportunities in this movie. Like,
this movie was nothing but missed opportunities.
I mean, the biggest plot of this movie is pretty much a slow chase scene as an Imperial ship chases down like the last Resistance ship that's slowly running out of gas.
Yeah.
Okay, I can buy
it. Oh, we're out of gas.
But one of the missed opportunities here that I was thinking storytelling-wise that they could have had a line like this in there that would have just made that whole sequence okay. Of like, okay, this, instead of the Empire basically deciding like, nah, we're just going to hang back and wait for them to run out of gas and just lob shots at them. So I thought of this as the Starkiller base was destroyed. That was their big HQ.
Right.
They could have had a throwaway line in there by Hux or somebody that was like, oh, most of our fuel reserves were destroyed on Starkiller base. And just establish that they're
everybody's running out of gas.
Okay.
Like, boom, done.
Now, they were out of gas in space, but there's no air resistance in space. So they would have continued moving at the same rate anyway and wouldn't have had to use any fuel.
I don't know why they didn't send TIE fighters out after them.
They explained that.
It's out of range or something.
Yeah, there was something where the TIE fighters got out of range. And
which, how do you get out of range of a laser?
Well, no, I don't think it was that. It was like the range that they're allowed to get away from the ship. Like there's a central
Maybe there's like shields or something. Yeah. And then it's like, okay.
And then they established something where the cruising speed of TIE fighters, because TIE fighters can't go into light speed.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have their own. They're not like the Rebellion fighters where they have their own hyperdrive.
Yeah.
So they...
Well, unless you're in like an A-Wing and then you need the fucking hyperdrive ring to get in there. But
TIE fighters can't go to hyperspace at all.
No.
So they established that the TIE fighters' top cruising speed was the same as the big ship. So there was like no point of sending out the TIE fighters because they would catch it. They would
move in on them, then launch the TIE fighters. And then when the Resistance ship goes to light speed, you follow them and they're out of gas per what they complained about the entire time. Like that's...
Yeah. It was a weak ass plot device. Yeah. Is what it was.
The
it
whole
was terrible.
Plot. I mean, just the whole movie was weak. The whole thing about Finn and Rose's stupid love thing,
pointless.
Rose, annoyed the shit out of me with
her
preachy 1%.
Her dead sister was more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Her preachy 1% thing. And then Finn is going, he's going to take a dive, be the hero he was.
I prefer the term Randy Quaiding.
Finn was going to Randy Quaid and just eat it in front of the laser to buy the Resistance Hope. Rose decides to knock him out. Which then, here's what should have happened if it wasn't for Deus Ex Luke, per the shitty writing. The canon murders the Resistance. They go in there, murder anyone who wasn't murdered by the canon. And Finn and Rose get stepped on by the stupid modified AT-AT that exists solely to sell a new toy.
Now, real quick interjection. A lot of people would say that it was showing that she was human and she had feelings for him, and whether or not it was a terrible idea is irrelevant because it's what her character would have done because she loves him even though they only met
because they would have died immediately when an AT-AT stepped on him. And again, she just murdered the whole Resistance.
I'm just saying.
Well,
it
irritated me because it stripped away. Finn should have died. It stripped away.
He had nothing to do in that movie.
Yeah,
he might as well have
died. I like Finn's character just fine. There's nothing about him I dislike. He's one of my favorite characters in this movie. But he had nothing to do. And his entire arc since The Force Awakens has been that he's been running away from shit.
Yep.
Like, he just wants to get away. He doesn't want to be involved in it. And in this movie, he finally gets something to care about and to die for.
Yep.
And then the minute he gets that, Rose takes it away.
How about the part where Finn drags her back in the middle of Kylo and Luke's lightsaber fight across salt?
Like,
and that,
for what seemed
my
miles.
God.
Who cares?
The dude gets on the camera, licks his finger, and goes, "It's salt." I wish they had just had the balls to be like, have him lick his finger, look directly into the camera, and go, "It's not Hoth."
Yeah.
No, they needed that shot for one purpose. Because it showed. He licked it and was like, "Oh, it's salt," right after that one soldier stepped and it showed that some picked up on his shoe and it was red. That was to just show that it picked up and would leave a red mark where it picks up salt, because when you see Luke later on, he's not leaving footprints.
Mm-hmm. Which, word, I didn't need to look at the camera and tell me it's not Hoth.
Yeah, it's just a really...
That's just what happens on this planet.
Telling me it's salt does not explain anything about why it turns red when you step on it. Yeah. Salt doesn't do that, so I don't know.
I thought it was because they were just like picking it up on their shoes.
Yeah, Snow would have done the same thing, but again, they basically looked at the camera to spell out that it's different.
Yeah,
it's not Hoth.
That was terrible.
This is at the end of the movie.
The visuals were cool. I liked the overheads and the red lines and stuff with all the things. Of course, they could have been anything besides some random speeder. They could have been land speeders or anything that we've used before.
They got to sell toys, man.
Yeah. They got to sell more toys.
It was not
sucks.
A missed opportunity from a financial perspective.
Yeah, not from a financial perspective, but for fandom, it sucks because it would have been so neat. Hell, even make that planet Hoth. They could have totally
They
fit
could have just
Hoth
made it
there.
Hoth.
And they and Leia being
the
like,
rebel base on Hoth is still there.
They could have somebody look at it and say, "Wait, I know where we're at." And they just go back to the Hoth base, and it's been left like it is since Empire. Yeah. And you go in there, and there's some leftover speeders that they get repaired.
It'd be
real
like
quick.
Jurassic World when they went back to the fucking thing.
Yeah, it'd be super fun to see that. But even still, without the Hoth thing, they could have gone back there and have a throwaway line from Poe, like he said. He's like, "Yeah, there's some speeders back there. I think we can get working," but he doesn't specify the speeders. Or maybe even just say, "Yeah, there's some old T-14s back there. I think we can get working."
Yeah.
Very few people are going to know what a T-14 is.
That'd be awesome.
And then have one of those glorious wide shots that we love so much. Mm-hmm. And then there's hear the buzzing, and then you see them crest the hill and you're like,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now, I know, you guys keep harping back to like, what if it was like the old stuff? And I get the need for the new stuff. This is a new generation. Is it raining? Is that what that is?
I think it's my air system. Yeah.
It's a new generation. We want to do new stuff. I get it. But the execution was so bad and pointless. There's no need. If you want an AT-AT, have it be an AT-AT.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need structurally for it to be this weird knuckle-dragging variant.
Yeah.
Or give us something wildly new. Something totally new.
Yeah.
And not a dumber variant.
That was my thing. It just seems like they're trying to sell toys.
Yeah, don't even mention that it's salt, so that I know it's not Hoth. Go make it. It could have been red. The whole thing could have been red, and That would have been that. We could have done something else to show the footprints, but it was white.
Turn them so white when
it would remind us about Hoth, but not actually be Hoth.
No, that was.
Yeah, that's it's that shit that gets me, and that we shouldn't feel this way after a Star Wars movie.
No.
And that's the
we should be celebrating, and we should be excited for the next one that's coming out.
It could have been different. It could have been the wildly different thing the internet's jerking itself off over. But it could have been a good, wildly different thing. And I think there's a reason they stuck to formula for episode 7. And I've seen what happens when they go off book now, and I am not impressed. If episode 9 is a cookie cutter Return of the Jedi, I'll be thrilled. And I like Jedi wasn't the best. It was made to sell toys.
Still better than this last one.
But yeah, it's still way better. I mean,
Jedi's my favorite. I know Empire's a better movie, but I just enjoyed Jedi so much more as a kid.
I like the first half of Jedi.
Yeah.
But it just makes me sad that, to Jared's point, I bought in, I thought we were past the Dark Ages, and it, Star Wars fan or not, it was not a good, well-structured movie.
Mm-mm. No, it was... it was very poorly edited, and it did not feel like Star Wars.
The plot points were terrible. It seems like there was no communication between JJ and Ryan. I don't even know how to say his name.
Who the fuck cares?
It seems like there was no communication between them. It seemed like he thought he knew better than everyone. And I will say that he didn't write the movie. He didn't come up with the characters from the other movie. I'll shit on him all day, but... At the end of the day, the writers are the ones that had Rose pull him out at the last minute. They gave her stupid 1% thing and couldn't figure out anything for Finn to do. They made Poe completely unlikable. I think they were trying to sell us on these characters in The Force Awakens, and I'm sold on Rey. I feel bad for Finn. He's just a pawn. He's just looking for something to do. And I hate Poe, and everyone's like, oh, they're just going to like make him the leader of the resistance. Mm-hmm. He's an insufferable twat.
Yeah.
I hate him. He should have been court-martialed immediately for pretty much everything, but instead we're going to like jerk him off because Oscar Isaac is a great actor, which he is. It's not an Oscar Isaac hate. But that character deserves to be thrown in the brig until further notice. He planned a mutiny. He disobeyed the chain of command. He got people killed.
Yeah.
He should be... Demoting him was nice. They should have court-martialed his ass so fucking hard.
That's very true. To be fair, she also got a lot of people killed.
She's dead, though, so she can't really pay the piper.
That's fair.
But he should be the next one should open up with him the same way we opened up to adult Jyn Erso. In jail, somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, I hate how it... I'm so mad it didn't feel like Star Wars, because Rogue One showed that they can do it like Star Wars. And what scares me is that I've still got hope for episode 9 because they brought back JJ. So that in some way just shows me it's like, okay, maybe they realized. I don't know. But either way, this is something. I'm okay with the toys, but getting back to like, they could have come out with more snowspeeders. I still would have bought Lego sets of more snowspeeders. Like, I'm still going to buy the new versions of like the old ship.
Yeah,
so they're going to have a different construction. There's going to be different something or other.
Give them a new person.
A new paint job.
And give us variants and all that.
The rust colored ones or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I'm really worried that Star Wars is going to a place where it's 100% a money grab. Like, I like that it's got all the toys. I've liked that aspect of it since I was a kid. But getting to a money grab in every possible way it can, like the Snoke thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we didn't give you Snoke's backstory here. We're going to come out with a book titled Snoke. And so now you got to go buy this
canon,
book.
But it's canon, so it still counts.
So you got to go buy this book. Or, they give you this other thing where you got to go buy this other book. Or you got to go buy this toy or this video game that plugs into it. Like, they alluded all sorts of things. Like that compass that Luke had. That ties back into... Mm-hmm. That was a whole thing. Like a whole MacGuffin in the new Battlefront 2 game. Where Luke was going to get this, he was going to some Jedi temple where he meets up with the Empire, the remnants of the Empire in the new Battlefront 2 game. And they focus on this compass, and then they focus on it in this movie. They give you a close-up of it, but never explain it. So that's obviously something that's going to probably tie back in some other way that's not going to be in a movie.
They never explained why he was all pissed at her about, like, looking in the Jedi hole or the Sith hole in...
Yeah.
Or what the Sith hole's even doing on this island. Yeah, Luke could have dropped a rock on there at any time and cut that off. But, yeah, just,
And so I still have three more things I want to gripe about before we're done. Okay, first of all, since we're on the topic of Luke... Luke Skywalker, whether he's denounced the Force or not, would never, ever, ever, ever raise a blade of any type, let alone his own lightsaber, on a sleeping, defenseless, his younger cousin.
Mm-hmm. Nephew.
Nephew.
They did show, young, though, that he, nephew. Like, went back on it and decided not to.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Luke wouldn't have, that wouldn't have even crossed his mind.
He spent two movies trying to redeem Vader. Yeah. Well, he only found out at the end. He spent an entire movie believing in the good in the Dark Lord of the Sith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say I was a fan
that never
either,
would have happened. That was a terrible decision.
Yep. Number
second
two.
Second of all, we touched on it a little bit, but we didn't really go into it. The music was nothing against John Williams. I love John Williams. He only does solid work, but he didn't really do anything in this movie. Mm-hmm. And by do anything, I mean write new music.
Yeah,
because they had they had the Leia theme. Yeah.
And
it was
like
it was all callback music that from what I can remember. And when I think of Star Wars, I think, okay, Duel of the Fates, you know, the best part
character
of episode
themes.
One. Yeah, character themes, And that I remembered, okay, this is Leia's theme, I get it. Where's Snoke's theme? Where's, you know,
Kylo Ren's
fucking theme?
Why don't I remember this from
Right. So there's that. Also, the third thing is the aspect of humor we didn't talk about at all.
Yeah. Mm.
Which...
They wanted that Guardians money.
I don't mind the humor in these movies, but it seems like they put it in there on purpose, as opposed to, you know, Leia calls Han a scruffy nerf herder, and that's funny because it's in context, it's thing this the character would say, but it's funny to us because we're like, oh yeah, I bet he is a nerf herder. I don't know what that shit is. You see a nerf later on, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it, great.
I think it's, nerf is just turds.
They put in, nerf, it's like an animal.
That's, I always thought it was turd.
No, like a scruffy nerf herder is like a shepherd, essentially. Ah. Yeah. You don't, Star Wars, you don't add comedy. It's the same thing with like Vader's line in Rogue One, where he's like, oh, unless you choke on your words. Mm-hmm. That didn't need to be there. Vader doesn't talk like that. I'm sure people make jokes, but people don't make jokes for the point of being funny in these movies.
Well, when I went back and rewatched the prequels, it's like the humor's different, but there's still those really goofy moments. Like when, when C-3PO in Attack of the Clones gets his head put on a battle droid and he's running around being like, die, Jedi dogs.
Yeah.
Like, that was stupid. Like, there's plenty of goofy, stupid moments.
That,
like,
I want to remind
you. And even
in
the original trilogy, there's goofy stuff, but, like, not to this degree.
No.
And this was different humor. Like you said, this was very
purposeful.
This was
Guardians humor.
It's purposeful.
That thing Poe did is a Star-Lord move in the beginning.
Oh, at the very beginning? Yeah.
How do you build up Hux in the last movie as a credible threat and then neuter him and lampoon him into a joke? Like,
yeah, he was a joke.
And that's... And the marketing for this, you brought up earlier, Holdo is in the press, you know, releases for this thing. Mm-hmm. She's this enigmatic pansexual character who doesn't display any of that because they're keeping it safe. Phasma. So we hyped up Phasma in Force Awakens, and she did next to nothing.
Shows up and gets
so they're like, okay, we heard the concerns, we get it, we're gonna make up for that with Phasma in this movie. She's there for about 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. And one of two things happened. She died, which is just another giant middle finger.
Or not.
Or she didn't, and now she's just a lampooned joke where she's going to die every... She's like Kenny. She's going to die every movie, but not really. So what's the fucking point?
See, I see her coming back in the next one with the crazy, like, busted helmet and all that stuff, but then...
Why?
Yeah, why? Who the fuck cares? She already got beat twice.
To sell an action figure variant?
It's still, though, Boba Fett.
But Boba,
like, I love Boba Fett. He's awesome, but I never understood why he got so much praise because in the initial...
He doesn't do anything.
He looked cool in Empire, but I don't think they were... I wasn't around at the time. So I can't say if all the press releases hyped up Boba Fett in during Empire's, you know, initial run. And by the time Jedi rolls around, he did do a lot more. So he did more in Jedi. He did more the next time he appeared. So again, I wasn't alive during Jedi's hype tour and
press. There was also way less press back then.
I wasn't around to see like, oh, Boba Fett returns and he's more badass than ever, which he kind of does more in Jedi than in Empire. We didn't have this. I don't think he was unfairly hyped up. The fans hyped him up after the fact. Phasma was hyped up by the company beforehand, didn't deliver, was re-hyped up because we heard your concerns that she wasn't as cool as we thought she was. This is going to be like a redemption to all that. And it was a quarter of the screen time and went out like a punk.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, and I think, speaking of the press stuff, is I think overall this has been a good example. And even though the movie definitely was edited poorly, it's sloppy writing. Like, it's just, I didn't like
bad.
It.
It's bad.
But this has also been a good lesson on expectation management. Of just like, this movie gets a ton of press and we've been talking about it for at least a year.
That's what I said. I let myself get excited
So we got a little too excited about it, I think. And we went in there. What were you guys expecting? Like, with that being said, because
I was expecting a rehash of Empire.
Yeah.
I was going to be pleasantly surprised.
Would you have been happier with a rehash of
Empire?
Absolutely. Way happier.
In retrospect, 100%. I would have been, I wasn't expecting it to suck. I was expecting another middling Force Awakens rehash, but they were going to elaborate on Snoke, not give us everything, because they got to save that for
save
the next one. They were going to elaborate on Snoke. I was really hoping he was 30 feet tall.
You knew that was not going to happen.
I know, but that's, I was hoping. Yeah. I expected him to be person-sized, which he was. I expected, I mean, I saw Krait in the previews. I expected a rehash of Hoth, a rehash of Yoda's training sequence on Dagobah, because Luke's training Rey now. I expected some cool fucking space battles. I expected a movie that didn't suck.
Yeah, all I wanted was for it to not suck, and it didn't do that.
At the bare minimum, I wanted a movie I could watch more than once, and I don't have any desire to watch this again.
No, I rewatched it, like I said, today, and it was just kind of on.
Yeah.
And it was there, but like, I rewatched The Force Awakens all the time.
I wanted to be hyped for episode 9, and I am not.
Not in the slightest.
I mean, honestly, if you guys are going opening night and the kid is behaving and I don't have anything to do, maybe I'll tag along if it's like a time I like, but I am not. And if there's like tickets there the day of, I am not buying my tickets super early and hyping myself up. I've said before, I love Lord of the Rings. I felt the same way I felt about the Desolation of Smaug, where I'm going to, like, I knew I was going to see the Battle of Five Armies, but it was to just get this shit over with. I was disappointed for an unexpected, I was hyped, really disappointed in an unexpected journey, had super high hopes for Desolation. They were murdered, sacrificed in a Scooby-Doo chase scene with the ultimate evil dragon. And when Battle of Five Armies
was
coming,
with no front legs, by the way.
When Battle of Five Armies was coming, I was just like, I'm going to see it. Because I need personal closure to get this over with. It's rotting a hole in my heart. Let's just fucking do this. That's how I feel about episode 9.
I can take solace in that, like, J.J. Abrams gave us a really good Star Wars movie with Force Awakens.
To me, he's playing, he should be.
And now he's got a clean slate to give us something else. And I know it'll at least be better than this movie.
Before, when I heard he was coming back, I was excited for him to tie up the plot lines he started. Now I'm like, episode 9's just going to be fucking cleanup. He's got to fix, it's more he's got to fix this than make a good movie. I wanted a good movie. Even if episode 9 is phenomenal, just the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen, it is not going to make up for this one.
Well, see, overall, like,
and what's going to happen?
My biggest complaints about this movie, overall, I'm mostly okay with the larger storytelling points that took place. I'm mostly okay with those. The movie itself and how it was executed, not really.
Right.
And I don't really want to watch it again, unlike any other Star Wars movie. But
yeah, I'm not going to watch this in preparation
but
episode 9.
Story-wise, though, the things that happened, I'm pretty okay with. Like I said, I just don't like how it was executed. So going into 9 with just the knowing those beats, I'm hopeful just on that. But it's definitely, I'll watch my expectations.
I'm just going to be, I'm going to see it to get it over with, like ripping off a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. I got into this. I got myself into this. I'm going to see it through.
And I think we were talking before, Infinity War is like this.
Yeah.
I might be done with movies altogether.
Infinity War sucks, I will officially have superhero fatigue and just be done. Mm-hmm. The show's going to have to change a pretty hard format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to want to go see anything anymore. I've already been let down this hard once. I am psyched for Infinity War.
I am so psyched.
I think it's going to be great. I'm psyched for Black Panther. I'm even psyched for Captain Marvel, who I don't give two shits about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of Infinity War, and I'm super stoked for Infinity War. And if part one is okay, I'll be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
If part one sucks, of course, I'm still going to have to see fucking part two. But if it's no good, like...
This was 10 years in the making.
That's it. Mm. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done giving them my money.
I could see that, yeah.
I've given them so much money, and I don't want to do it anymore, if that's the case.
So another question I wanted to pose here, it's something I was thinking about, is I've been a big fan of J.J. Abrams for a long time. Regardless of how it's executed, well... It's J.J. Abrams likes his puzzle boxes. Like, he likes his mystery boxes. Mm-hmm. Like, he likes to set up a mystery and just... And it all goes back to some story he tells about a box that he was given as a kid. And
Whatever.
And the lesson was, it was his granddad or something gave him a box. And he was like, what's in the box? And his granddad was like, I don't know, but don't open it. And he's like, and it just lets your imagination run wild. And I like that lesson. But with that in mind... This has started to get me questioning, and then thinking back to JJ's body of work. Like, he can build one hell of a mystery box, but can he, like...
Deliver
on that mystery box?
Lost!
Yeah, like Lost, Alias.
Now, I was thinking about Lost before, because it is J.J. Abrams. That's one of the first... what did he do before Lost?
Alias. Yeah.
Anything before... Okay, so I never watched Alias. Stuff, so Lost is the first thing I saw with him, but... Fucking... When was... He was part of the writer's strike, right? He went on strike. He stopped writing Lost during the writer's strike.
Well, he wasn't
the
one actually writing Lost. He was just
the showrunner,
one of the showrunners and co-creators.
Okay.
And then I'm not even sure outside of producing it at that point
how much he did.
He maybe came back and directed, but it was sort of his idea, and then he let somebody else run with it.
Okay.
But he developed all the finer points and helped develop the ending. And a lot of people blame that writer's strike for Lost, and it's like, I don't blame that for Lost at all. I blame that for some season 3 and early season 4 stuff on Lost. What I blame with Lost is the fact that I do thoroughly believe they knew where they were going to end that show. What they did not know was how long they were going to have to make that show. So when they first started making it, they knew, like, okay, this is how we want to end it.
So all the episodes are there just filler, sort of?
Well, yeah. I mean, they went in to make it and knew that they wanted to carry it out for like 2 to 3 seasons. But it was such a successful show that ABC wouldn't sign a contract with them to finalize the date for like 2 seasons. And then finally at season 4, they finalized it where they were going to do 6 seasons. So they were having to run this show with all these mysteries, not knowing when they were going to be able to start wrapping them up.
Yeah.
So they were just constantly having to, like, all right, well, we'll tease this one out a little bit more. And that's what I blame for. Because I like Lost, but I definitely see its downfall.
This is getting a little off topic, but I mean, because we're talking about J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
But the fact that you say it wasn't really affected by the writer's strike would be fine if...
Well, it was, you say
seasons 3 and 4, but that's when the writer's strike happened. And it's the same thing with Heroes. Seasons 3 and 4, the writer's strike was going on. It's just
that was
shitty.
Mid-season 2.
Well, either way, they're going on at the same time. Like, that's when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just shows started sucking around then. Yeah. And that's just what happened. They couldn't come back.
Yeah.
Heroes couldn't come back because it kept sucking. Lost,
Heroes did come back and it sucked.
Well, Heroes came back years later and still sucked.
Well, how Lost got around it was...
They
had a
rabid fan base.
No, they did. That what affected them was it was definitely having to string out all of these fucking mysteries, and it just tired people out. Lost was set up in a unique way where it was able to just have these little bottle episodes with weird characters, and that's how they got around it. Is they just, oh yeah, there were some more passengers on this plane.
Yeah, and that's what these episodes.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah,
but
that was no good. Those episodes were bad.
Oh, they were terrible. But as a creative storytelling decision, having to get around like that situation, I'm like, all right, that works. That's that's a more elegant way to handle it than Heroes and other shows did. Of just like, you know, caught with your pants down. Yeah, anyway, getting back on top of what I was saying, though, is I've gotten to where I'm wondering if J.J. Abrams can actually deliver on these mystery boxes.
No, is my I don't wonder.
Would be is has he delivered on one of these?
That's what
boxes?
I was just about to say. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I don't wonder. And to Jared's point earlier, this movie, I was so disappointed that it has me scared for Infinity War, an unrelated franchise by the same studio. Mm-hmm. That just shouldn't be.
Yeah,
it shouldn't.
No, I did sort of have your same stream of thought, though. I was like, if Infinity War sucks, I'm done with movies.
Suicide Pact.
Like, done. This Let's movie, or we'll this movie out. legitimately made me question my entire minor in college.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, if this is the way movies are going. And then, it really did start making me wonder about the way movies are going.
Well, now that Disney owns everything, they can make whatever they want, with whatever quality they want. And everyone's going to watch it.
Yeah, and and then, well, the lines also are getting more and more blurred on what's animation, what's a movie, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got into movies because I like the quote-unquote movie magic. Like, it's cool what they can do with CGI, but I like all the little trickery and camera tricks and stuff you do. And that's what got me into it. And this movie made me re-examine all that and realize, like, these aren't even the sort of movies that I fell in love with movies over. Like,
you're right, Tanner. The Last Jedi was a terrible film.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt. Yeah, I'm not arguing. My definitive statement on The Last Jedi, I guess, is I don't hate the story, but I severely dislike the movie.
Okay.
Like, I'm okay with the narrative.
I'd say that, yes, I don't like the movie. And I would partly agree with you that there were probably main plot points that needed to happen that they had to show us somehow before the next one came out.
Mm-hmm. My definitive statement is it made me afraid for an unrelated movie, an unrelated franchise tentpole. As a person who enjoys Star Wars but wouldn't say is a Star Wars fanboy, this was objectively a poorly written and poorly executed movie.
Mm. Yeah, definitely my least favorite.
And I know you were talking about things in the visual dictionary, which great. I'm glad it's a supplement. I'm glad you like it. But if you need that for the average moviegoer to justify everything.
Getting back to saying is like, is this what these movies are becoming? Where you've got to go buy all this supplemental material.
And releasing a half-finished game and then saying the DLC is going to fix it is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, and for all I'm telling right now, that's what it looks like this franchise is right now. Yeah. Just, we're going to tease you with a little bit, but if you want the content, and I'm down for paying for stuff, but this is getting money grubbing.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's ridiculous.
I paid for extra Lord of the Rings extended editions, and I got what I paid for. Yeah. I loved it. Just, holy shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just.
And Tanner, one more thing I want to point out is you keep saying this is your least favorite Star Wars movie, which puts it below Episode One, which until this movie came out was, I'm pretty sure, unanimously everyone's least favorite Star Wars movie. And you watched them all more recently than I have.
Yeah, I rewatched them all over the weekend after this movie.
That's what this
out.
Movie did to you, Tanner.
Yeah. I sat and rewatched
this.
This
movie made you re-examine Episode One.
Yeah.
As the not worst Star Wars movie that's come out.
And the thing is, the prequels feel like Star Wars movies.
They do.
This movie made me say George Lucas may be a shit writer. He may be a shit writer. He may give little to no direction to his actors. But he
knows. It's none.
Okay, no direction to his actors. No support. No support. And write the worst fucking dialogue imaginable. But he knows his visuals.
Mm. Where George Lucas
he knows how
shines?
To make a Star Wars movie look like a Star Wars movie. This movie makes me defend George Lucas as a director. That's not how it's supposed to. This is not going to go the way you think it will.
George Lucas, where he shines is just like, give him like 500 words. Give him 500 words to give you the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just take that and go write your script. And like, that's it. Give him 500 words to write you like, okay, we've got a boy that's on a desert planet and he's living with his aunt because his dad died and he meets an old mentor that gives him a laser sword. He goes and saves the... like, basically that. And then sort of flesh out some of the details like with like the space station or something. But yeah, just give him a rough cut because he's not a good filmmaker.
Right.
Yeah. He's not. I mean, he made Star Wars twice. Mm-hmm. Like the first one, he made it like halfway through and then fucked it up and then had to start over.
Mark Hamill tried to warn us. This is not.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That was going to be my closing kind of thing, is that Mark Hamill didn't like this movie.
Yeah.
And neither do I.
Yeah.
That says something.
I stand behind Luke Skywalker.
Hashtag yeah. I'm with him.
Yep.
I'm done. I'm done. That's all I got to say about it. I'm done.
All right.
All right.
So, sorry if you haven't seen it. Don't waste your money.
2017's been a rough year, all right.
It has, yeah.
Well, that's been episode 116.
Yeah, thanks for
the Bruce Chat podcast. I guess our Star Wars, our yearly Star Wars review.
Go drink our problems away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We will see you guys next time.